chapter 56, Isaiah 56. We're going to read two verses here, and then we'll jump over to John chapter 1 after that. Isaiah 56 and verse number 10. Says, his watchmen are blind, they are ignorant, they are dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. There in verse number 10 it says, his watchmen, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. One of the first things we promised our children we'd do when we went to Jamaica, of course, on deputation, you can't have an animal. You know, it's just impossible to have a house dog or cat or whatever. Of course, I'm against cats, but that's just personal preference. But so when we got to Jamaica, we promised them we'd get them a dog. And it wasn't just for a pet, but it's one of the defense mechanisms. Over there, it's illegal to own a gun without a license, and I don't have a license, so I can't own a gun legally. So the first line of defense for us was to get a dog. When we went over there, we were in transit in between two churches when we first went, and so we waited about 3 or 4 months and got us a German Shepherd dog as a puppy and raised him with our children, called his name Drago, and that dog is our line of defense in our yard. So when the dog was growing up, we'd train him, don't let anybody approach the gate. Don't eat anything thrown into the gate, because poisoning dogs is very serious in Jamaica, and they do it often. And one time we had him, someone tried to poison him when he was a puppy. And through the course of events, we trained this dog to be a watchdog. He was naturally a watchdog, but trained him to be a better watchdog. Drago is unusual because he stays awake all night and he sleeps during the day. During the day, the kids be playing around him. He'll be sleeping on the floor in the living room, and Drago will be asleep. But at night, when he's the watchdog, he's awake. And an unusual thing about Drago, our roof over our carport is cement. And as that roof is cement, it stays hot through the night. And Drago, I guess he likes hot temperatures, because he always sleeps on the roof of our carport. He goes up the steps, no matter how much wire I put up, no matter how much obstructions I put up for him not to get on the steps and fall off the roof, he still gets up there. And he watches the street all night long. During the night, if there's a person walking on our street, which typically is not the case, but if there's a person walking on our street, Drago come down off the steps and start barking at him. If there's a dog walking on our street, he'll come down the steps and start barking at him. If there's a cat, he'll come down the steps and start barking at them. And every time he barks, my bed's close to the window. I roll out of bed and look out the curtains with the lights off, mind you, and look out the curtains at the street and see what's going on. Theft is, in fact, the other missionary that we went to work with, the Hutchins. They were there 28 years. And Drago was at their house. We were back in the States having Brinley. And someone was breaking into the house, and he had Drago on a chain. And as Drago was barking, he went to the window and said, "Drago, shut up!" And then he saw the man's shadow in the light and was able to holler down at the man to stop breaking into his home. And it was because of that the other missionary left for fear. But it was Drago that warned him. What am I saying? Drago was being a good watchdog. He was guarding the home that he was supposed to be doing. He was doing his job. And you and I, as individuals, we're not dogs, but we're sent to be watchmen over our homes, over our families, over our finances, over our country. And somewhere along the way, I think we've fallen into this. Verse number 10 here, he says, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. You know, during the day, you can go up to Drago and a stranger, if I've allowed him to come in the gate, a stranger could step over Drago and he's okay. But during the night, nobody can come to the gate. It's hard for me to come to the gate without Drago barking at me. And he knows my bus. He knows the way I walk. But Drago's always on alert. And you know, as Christians, sometimes I think we get off of the alert. We get off of the alert and our guard is let down. We begin to let things slip into our home that should not be in our home. You say, well, how do we divert this? How do we overcome this? In John chapter number 1, and begin reading in, excuse me, in verse number 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. See, how are we going to overcome this dilemma of letting our guard down? The first and only point tonight is to get back to the Bible. To get back to the Bible. It's very simple. Simple message. Now, I've got some points under that, mind you. Don't think you're getting out that easy. But get back to the Bible. I say, why is that the only point? You know, when we get back to God, as I think it was Paul that wrote it, it's as a man showing his face in a glass. You know, when we come to God through His Word, when we come to God through prayer, what do we begin to realize? All of our imperfections. You know, as I got ready for church tonight, I went in there and combed my hair, and then my wife says, "Did you comb your hair on the way to church tonight?" I said, "Yes, I combed my hair on the way to church, or before we got ready for church." Why? Because she saw an imperfection. And, you know, as we draw nigh to God and He draws nigh to us, we begin to see those imperfections in our spiritual life. Begin to see those things in our spiritual life that are lacking. You know, it's always a testimony to Christians. You always know a good Christian because they never think they are one. You know, the people or individuals that think that, "Oh, I'm a pretty good Christian," those are typically the ones that aren't drawing nigh to God. Because when you draw nigh to God, you realize that you're still just a sinner by nature, just saved by the grace of God. So we need to get back to the Bible. Now, why do we need to get back to the Bible? The first point is for light. For light. Right after I came back from Jamaica in October, my wife picked me up, and we went to her grandmother's house. And my kids were there, and my wife's sister's kids were there. Their cousins were there, and they're all running around like kids do. It had started to get dark, and they shut all the lights off in the house, and Grandma had a flashlight or two she loaned them. And they ran around playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark in the house there. And then, of course, it was one of those little cheap plastic flashlights with the little incandescent bulb that runs out, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And one of the girls brought the flashlight to me and said, "Daddy, it's not working," you know. It had just that little bit of orange glow to it. And I grabbed the flashlight, you know, how you can shake them a little bit, and that'll get them going for a few seconds. And I showed her how to shake it, and she ran off shaking it and playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark again. What did it need? It just needed a charge. And, you know, when you and I begin to get away from the Word of God, we begin to not draw nigh to God, we begin to not look into God's Word, we begin to be like that flashlight and begin to grow dim. We don't notice it, but the world does, because no longer is that light being shown. No longer is that light being shown in the darkness. Instead, the darkness is overwhelming the light. Now, the second point, we need to get back to the Bible for light. We need to get back to the Bible for oil. If you look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see that David is anointed king, and Samuel comes to the house of Jesse, and as he looks on the eldest brother of David, he thinks, surely this is the man that God has chosen to rule Israel after Saul. And God says, that's not the one. And he goes down the line, all the sons of Jesse that are there, and then he looks at Jesse and says, do you have any other sons? He says, I've got one, the youngest, and he's out with his sheep. And so he says, go and get him. And he comes back, and Samuel anoints him to be king of Israel. Now, in chapter 17, we see that David is facing Goliath. And in verse number 46, we pick up the story here. 45, I'm sorry. It says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon the face of the earth. There in verse number 48, did you notice it says, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Of course, I don't need to tell you, all of you in here have heard the story of David and Goliath and how much taller Goliath was of David and how much younger David was than Goliath and how many more wars that Goliath had been in than David. And we see that David is bold. We see that David has courage. But yet still on the battlefield, seeing Goliath there and standing face to face with him, you would think fear would begin to set in. And David, again, makes the statement to Goliath, I'm going to take your head from your body, and God's going to give you into our hands. And then we see David run to Goliath. Not just, you know, if it was me, I bow hunt a little bit, and I hunt with a gun and consider myself good at both. If it was me, I'd step back and, you know, I'd mark off, okay, I know when he's 50 yards away, I can nail him. You know, I can hit him from right here. I'm just going to let him come in. Not David. Not David. The Bible says he ran. But oh, it's almost as though David had this mindset, I can't die. God's already anointed me. God's anointed me to be the next king of Israel. Saul's still on the throne, and I'm not king yet, so therefore I cannot die. And David runs to Goliath, and he takes that stone and slings it, and God gives the victory. See, where did David get that faith? Where did David get that energy? Because a little while before, Samuel had anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When we get into the Word of God, we have that fresh oil, so to speak. We have that oil from the Word of God. When I was in Bible college, we had just gotten married. And before we had gotten married, my dad had fixed up an old 90 model Ford for me. Sat with the front cap off of it for about 2 or 3 years. And then Dad put a front cap on it and sent it off to Oklahoma for me to drive while I was up there. Well, while it had sat, all the seals in it dried out. And, you know, Fords aren't too good at keeping seals in them anyways. But I had to add a quart of oil to it every week. And I didn't drive that much. It was 3 miles to school and 3 miles to work. So 12 miles a day, and I was adding a quart a week. But at that time in October, at work, they were having us guys that work second shift work 12-hour shifts. So we go in at 2:30 and we get off at 2:30. So I'd make it home around 3 and then get back up for school at 7 and then go to school till 1 and come back home and get an hour and 15-minute nap and then go back to work for 2:30. And boy, that gets a little old after a little while. And a few weeks there, I forgot to put oil in that old truck, and we were going to sell a different vehicle and about a 45-minute drive away. And while we're on the interstate driving, I started to hear that old Ford go cluck, 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 cluck. And I thought, it's not a diesel. It shouldn't knock like that. So we pulled off, and Maria says, "What's wrong?" I said, "I think we're out of oil, and I don't have any." And sure enough, I checked the dipstick, and it was all the way gone. You know, there was nothing left in it. And so we got out and started walking. Unfortunately, we didn't have any kids at that time. We started walking, and this man from Shreveport, Louisiana, picked us up, brought us a few miles down the road, got some oil. I bought 5 quarts just to be for sure, you know. And we came back. He brought us back, and it took about 3.5-4 quarts of oil, and put it in there and started it up, and it knocked a little bit, and then it was fine. Fine till I sold it a few months later, mind you, but it ran fine. What did it need? It just needed some oil. It needed a little bit of oil. You know, you and I in our life, we begin to try and live our life as a Christian, but without the strength of God's Word there to assist us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, we begin to get like that old truck. Friction begins to wear us thin. It seems like we're mad at this person, angry at that person. Situations that used to not frustrate us get under our skin a lot more. Why? Because we just simply don't have that oil that comes from reading God's Word, that comes from being close to God. And then the last thing tonight, not only do we need to get back to the Bible for light, to get back to the Bible for oil, but get back to the Bible for life. Say, I already have eternal life. You know, I've been saved. You know, the Bible's a much more enriching and nourishing book than just salvation. Sure, the Bible brings us the message of salvation with the testimony of Jesus Christ, but if we apply the principles in the Word of God, we have not just a life, but as Christ said, I'm come to give them life, and a life more abundant. A life more abundant. Not just eternal life, but a better life. I don't know how many times I've heard of pastors give the testimony of being a drunkard or being one that abused their wife or being this or being that, and then God got a hold of their heart. They got saved and began to apply the principles in the Word of God, and it changed their life around. You know, as Christians, we still need that change. Because as Pastor said this morning, we're humans by nature. We tend to lean towards that sin side more than that righteousness side. And as we lean towards that sin side, it's the Word of God that pulls us back towards that righteousness side, towards that doing right, towards that choosing right. And that's what gives us that life more abundant. When we apply those principles to our life that God has laid out through the Word of God, it's not just a book to come to with salvation, but a book to come to with every problem of our life. God's got the answer here. He's got the answer for us, and he says, trust in me. Trust in me. If we get back to the Word of God, we'll have our guard back up. We'll have our guard back up. As our dog there in Jamaica, I was talking to the missionary that filled in for us. It's still down there. He said the other day he got out and bit somebody's pants. They were in our yard. They weren't invited there, but they were in our yard, and they were supposed to keep the dog inside so the people could pick the fruit, and the dog escaped, as he always does if somebody's in the yard, and bit somebody. You know, as Christians, how long has it been since you saw something in your life and said, you know, that's not supposed to be in my life? As that dog looks at that person and says, they're not supposed to be in my yard. How long has it been since you said, you know, there's something wrong here? There's an issue here that God hasn't convicted me of, maybe because I haven't been close to Him. God hasn't drawn out my life, maybe because I haven't drawn nigh to God. How long has it been since you sounded the alarm for something in your life, in your home, in your family? How long has it been since you were in the Word of God? Get back to the Word of God for light, for oil, and for life.